Okay, good evening, everybody. We are Or L'Ches Tishrei. We're only a couple of days away from Yom Kippur. And last week was Rosh Hashanah, last Wednesday night. So we didn't have the opportunity to learn together, although we're all connected through our tefillas. But really, I think I said it before we adjourned for Rosh Hashanah, that we're living in historic times on many levels. And as we go into Yom Kippur, certainly as individuals, I think we all know that's a lot on the line for ourselves. And, you know, it's going to be, actually, I took my 8th grade son home with two of his friends today from yeshiva. He comes to my office to take him home. So I said, you know, Bachur, Mir, Davin, because they're all going to high school next year, and we go to 8th grade. And they're all in the, you know, they have different plans, and in Chicago there's options, different yeshivas. And there's actually yeshivas that are out of town as well. I said, you know, your permutation, what the potential is all going to be decided on Yom Kippur. And that's it, guys. You know, you can obviously have to do your due diligence afterwards, but your whole potential is decided now. And just yesterday also, I was studying with a person who's not yet religious, but on that path. And we're talking about Yom Kippur, and you know, he had a certain family dynamic where he may have been forced to compromise on certain things. So this guy's a very big professional. I said to him, let me ask you a question. If you had a deal which was all on the line right now, would you compromise? Would you compromise? You wouldn't compromise. This guy would never compromise. I happen to know that. It's personality. You wouldn't give up because of this family dynamic. You would say, I have a deal. Like, sorry, I can't deal with this. No pun intended. You wouldn't compromise. So let me explain to you so-and-so. Yom Kippur, that deal is on the line. None of that's on the line. Your house is on the line. Your health is on the line. Your wealth is on the line. Your family's on the line. The Jewish people is on the line. You have to do your utmost. And you know, you look at the election right now in America. Do you understand? You look at these polls. It's like a hair's breadth. It's like a photo finish right now. Who's going to win? And of course, you could speculate maybe the polls are slanted against Trump, or maybe he'll mess it up, or maybe it's all in the next few weeks. It's going to be decided, right? But it's going to be decided on Yom Kippur. We're sitting here this morning. There was a phone call between President Biden and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Okay, how to attack Iran? Do you understand? They're going to send planes to Iran. Now, whatever they said to the public, whatever they revealed, there was a phone call. If they're not going to attack the nuclear facilities, who in the world knows? Do you think they're going to not make an announcement we're attacking nuclear facilities? They're putting flashing lights. Do you think anyone knew they'd be blowing up walkie-talkies? There's a very big possibility we'll either knock out the oil, knock out the facilities. There's going to be all kinds of pilots, all kinds of whatever, who knows, endangered. The reaction of Iran, who knows? There's millions of Jews in Israel. Like, we think it's good. On face value, certainly it would make sense. And you know, there's been a lot of positive developments. But who says it continues? Like, you know, there's Hashem in this world. They've had, you know, there's all kinds of possibilities. But one thing is 100% that where we are on Yom Kippur is going to be decisive on all of this. On the world's economy, and just go through a million other threats in the world. I'm just trying to give you an idea. As we come into Yom Kippur this year in particular, after a year we had for the Jewish people worldwide, in a year where there's an election in America, which is, there's no favorite right now. There really is no favorite. You know, I'm inclined to think that one side will probably win, but who knows? And most importantly for you and I, We know in our own lives that I know in my life, and I'm sure you know in your life, there's a lot on the line. Health is the most important thing. You're not physically healthy, you can't do anything else. Right? You know, the economy, the anti-Semitism, our family, our personal dynamics, our things that make us happy in this world, the things that we're nervous about. There's nothing more important to it. We cannot compromise on Yom Kippur. We need to come into Yom Kippur as prepared as possible. And most importantly, and that's what I focus on tonight, I just mentioned briefly before we started, I will be sending a link tomorrow to everyone, and it will be on my website, Think Torah, for those who don't get my emails, about, you know, dreaming big on Yom Kippur, about personal goals, about the opportunity, which is really for something called stretch goals, which Yom Kippur gives all of us, which we don't have on a regular day, and to change our personal lives. But tonight, I want to do Rav Dessler's Pirish explanation on Al Chet. We're going to be spending a lot of time starting Friday afternoon when we do Vidui. We're going to confess. Ready? Already, even before Yom Kippur, Mincha, Friday afternoon, Erev Yom Kippur, we're going to do Vidui. And we're going to do it again at night. And we do it in Chazar Shas at night. And we're going to do it in the Shachris, and in Musaf, and in Mincha, and the Ilah. So I thought it's worthwhile for us to do Rav Dessler, who explains and elucidates some things, which it's not a translation, by the way. We're not going to do a translation tonight. We're going to get some idea why we say the things that we say at Vidui. Now, it's important to know that when we talk about Vidui, you know, it's typically translated as confession. And tshuva, you know, very often, you know, they'll say it's the gates of repentance, the sharei tshuva. Repentance has a very gayish connotation. Okay, you know, you think some Bible preaching, you know, Puritan somewhere in New England in the 16th century, you're going H-E-L-L, you know, but really the real translation of tshuva is to return. And what you and I are going to try to do on Yom Kippur, which will be a merit for us, is to repair and return our relationship to Hashem the way it should be, and really to return our souls, our neshamas, the way they should be. That's what Vidui is. It's the reason Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year is because we can reconcile and return ourselves and become the people we could and should be. And Vidui is a lot about it. So Rav Dessler, Pirush Alchet, an explanation on the Alchet, which we'll be saying 10 times over 10 times over Yom Kippur, even before Yom Kippur. Ata yodei razilim. So this is actually how, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we say Vidui. Okay, if you look at a Maxer, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, we'll do Vidui. It just starts with the how it starts. Ata yodei razilim Hashem. You know all the secrets. There's no hiding in front of Hashem. You can bluff any human being. Even the great rabbis, if you really want to try a bluff, some are harder than others. But you can fool yourself very easily. You can't fool Hashem. There's no secrets in front of Hashem. Vata saluma sisre kol chayim, the inner workings of everyone and everything, you know Hashem. Ata choyfes kol chadrei vaten uboichin klas lev, you know all of our kishkas, all of our insides, all of what think our thoughts, not just our actions and our deeds, but all of our thoughts. Ain't called davar minalim cha. There's nothing hidden from you. Ve'nista meganecha. There's nothing covered but from your eyes, so to speak. Ve'chen. And therefore, we say in Shemoneh Esrei, hiratzim ofanecha. We ask of you, it should be your will, shetachaper, that we should be atoned. Ve'tislach, we should be forgiven. Ve'timcha, we should we should be wiped away any of the damage that we did. Of course, if a Jew eats non-kosher, if a Jew sees or hears or exposes himself to vulgarity, it affects us. And I gave it a very easy example, which I once told somebody. You know, if you look at nudity, profanity, you know, on the internet, you can hit your chest. You can feel bad about it, but it's still in your hard drive in your head. It's very hard to get out. And, if you eat food, it's very hard. In human relationships, if you cheat somebody, if you hurt somebody, it's very hard to clean the slate. And we ask for mechila, that Hashem should clean the slate. You should erase, reboot, cleanse, no scar tissue, totally put ourselves al kol pesha'inu for any of our even willfully terrible sins. Hashem, you know the inners of all sins. Therefore, forgive us. This lachlanu, kashin zvada. We're gonna tonight, or Yom Kippur, even before Yom Kippur, we're gonna confess. We're gonna accept. Vidui comes from the lashon of maida, admitting the root of our sins, not just what we did, not just what we thought about, but what were the causes of them? And we're going to explain how Al Chet, says Rav Dessler, tells it all. So again, he's going to go through all the Al Chet that we're going to do. It may be worthwhile to listen to this again, if you have some time. These are very, very powerful pointers, not translations, of why we do what we do and what we're admitting to, confessing to, and returning to ourselves to on the night of, in the day of Yom Kippur. Now, the first thing we'll say is in the Al Chet, and he's speaking the root of the, is Be'oines. Oines means against our will. So we say we ask Hashem to forgive us and fix us and Meichel, clean us from all things Be'oines. Why Oines? Aidei HaGashas Oines. Because we feel it's against our will. Alul Mahakal Yatsin Ro. I really had no choice. It was so over, we were in it, it was a situation, it was against my will. Well, if it's against my will, I'm not culpable. It was very damaging, right? So the first, we start with Oines, because that's always, we excuse ourselves. It's against our will. So says of that, so the Shirish, when we feel, it's not my fault, right? So, and there could be, by the way, after 120 years, a person, something may really truly be against your will, and maybe the culpability is significantly less for that, or even not culpable, possibly. But very often, what we think is against our will, it's not really against our will. We had a level of choice. We had a level of mitigation sometimes. And because we felt it was so overwhelming, we didn't do what we should have done. Uveratzen is the second one. Haratzen hu shorish ikrei lechet. What we desire is where we're going to end up. Right? V'derach shalom roitze malich nasav. Where a person wants to be, that's where you're going to end up. We actually say ashrei. It says that ashrei is, the person says ashrei, it's olam haba. And the Talmud says, why is that? The most important pasuk we always say is poseach es yadecha u'mazbiyo l'chol haratzen. So you open your hands and you give everyone what they need. That's people have special kavana intent in that pasuk, that verse. Says the Yechiruvin, what's the main thing of that pasuk? Poseach es yadecha, Hashem open his bands. U'mazbiyo l'chol haratzen. Whoever wants, because what we want is what we'll get. If a person wants evil, they will end up doing evil. If they want pleasures, sometimes forbidden, they'll end up doing that. If they want to be a lazy bum, they'll end up being a lazy bum. If they want greatness, they'll end up being great. If they want to be good, they'll end up being good. If they want to be kind, they'll end up being kind. If they want to be heilig, they want to be holy, you're going to end up being holy. Ratzon, when we sinned, there was something wrong with our desires, your innermost ratzon. Be'imatzalev literally means, number three, is akshanus, being stubborn, obdurate. Akshanus habay megayv, it comes from like, I know best. Ki imi emes tamid, very often a person sins, very, by the way, especially ben adam lechavero, between man and man, because we know best. Right, you see people being disrespectful to rabbis. I've experienced this. You see people being disrespectful to parents. Kid knows better. Spouses. I'm saying you could just see in interpersonal relationships like that. All that, you're angry. You're righteous. You're rude. You're obnoxious. Sometimes a person can be. Why? Because we know best. Right. We ignore rebuke because we know best. And we do sometimes even halacha because you know better than Hashem. Hashem said, "Do this." You know, I remember somebody once talking to me about a certain, I think it's homosexuality, whatever it is. One of these, God, I know better than God. Like, but that, this guy really said it. But there are people who think that, some reform rabbis, conservative rabbis, the Torah, the Bible says this. It's so archaic and old that God didn't know what he's talking about. God had no clue what he's talking about. But you and I don't have to worry about that. We're not going to say God, but we think sometimes we'll make a new halacha or we'll change halacha for ourselves because we know better. We're not going to say it like that. We don't have the chutzpah. We don't even articulate it that way. We don't even articulate it that way. But we know best. Next one. Bivli das. Chisar and havana Hosherish Golachatayim. Very often, right? Ignorance is no excuse under the law. Well, if you don't know Torah, you don't study the halacha, you're gonna mess up. Right? If you're driving in a country, you don't know what the traffic laws are, you're gonna mess up. If you're in a business and you don't know what the rules and regulations are, you're gonna mess up. And if you're in Hashem's world and you never bother to figure out what the Torah says, you're gonna mess up. So we clap, bivli das. If I would have known, I wouldn't have done it. Next, the bitois fasayim, things that we say, articulate. Havtacha nimheres lefame mevia lechet. Here's it, you make a promise, specific thing. You're just quick. You're quick. Now, I'm in a world of where a lot of people are doing great things. A lot of great things. And I deal with lots of people who are leaders. And people can promise very quickly. It's easy to promise. It's harder to do. And sometimes they mean well. They do mean well. But they promise without thinking about it. You know, I'll do this. I'm here. I'm out. And they don't live up to it. And by the way, first of all, you can hurt people, hurt Torah, hurt organizations, hurt families by promising and not delivering. You can hurt people's careers, people's parnasa, people's jobs by saying and not doing. You can promise to learn Daf Yomi every day. Tell the rabbi, I'll learn Daf Yomi every day. Okay? Very nice. You just made a nether. You better go to Kilmidre, right? Or do Hataras Adar, because if you don't go, you said you're going to do it. Well, why do you say that? You didn't even think about it. By the way, if you're motivated, it's just a question of making the jump, of course, but Bivitois Vasayim, don't be so quick to promise. Think, if you're clear, of course, do great things. You know, stand up, be a leader, deliver. Begiloi. Megaloi. Very sometimes we clap, Megaloi, things we do publicly. Why? Sometimes our desire to get honor in front of others, people are honor conscious, so they end up sinning. So they say the wrong thing, they crack the wrong joke, they act a certain way because, especially if they're in the wrong crowds, there's peer pressure. So we did things publicly out of peer pressure. I don't want to being normal, being one of the crowd. Nah, I'm gonna be very honest. I remember down the block, you know, with the conservative temple in San Jose, there were people who were good people, and they could have been totally from an Orthodox, but they're part of that temple for decades, and they're always what their friends would say. I dealt with people, and you know, it's always, what's so and so going to say if I start davening every day. So they didn't live to their potential. Literally, they squandered their lives. And by the way, they hurt their kids and their grandchildren in the process. But beyond that, if you're worried about everyone's going to say, you're going to have to fit in. So if they're not so careful about kosher, if they're not so careful about how the woman dress, what they wear, and what their level of observance is, then you won't do it. Because you're worried about what your buddy is going to say. Now what Hashem is going to say, but where you're part. And Joe, by the way, don't go to an Orthodox show also. Some people talk during the davening. So I can't be normal. Worry about everyone else. Daven long, people are too religious. Too religious. Give me one of the chavra. You know, there's a desire to do what everyone else is, and to get honor on top of it. Beseser, now you also clap for things which you do hiding, hidden. Why? The Amros of Desa, you don't think anybody is watching. In the depths of your house, or your computer, or your bed, you sleep late, no one sees, you know, you walk around your house, you know, wearing underwear. That's not a sin necessarily, it's lack of tznius. Shulchan Aruch starts, Jewish law, God's everywhere, maybe. But the problem is, you may think God's everywhere. You know, so you could do much worse than that. You're in Alabama, and there's no kosher food. No one sees. Understandable. You know, I'm not going to get nothing, not a treif now, but there's a something that looks kosher. It's a K. If I only had a circle around it, I know it's kosher. But it says K. Now, K could be many things. But I'll have the K. Because no one sees. Begilerais. Begilerais means acts of lewdness, inappropriate sexual relations with the opposite gender. Could it actually be consummation of that, or even, you know, just general breakdown of that? Ayin Raya, what you see, your heart desires. Your heart desires. So you should know, Gila Rai says of Desta, the root of the sin, Maskal is Baskalas to Hadavish Vesavel. You go to a place, you see things, you expose yourself to things, and you desire it. You're exposing yourself to what you see, your eyes desire. Beginning of the whole Torah starts that way. The whole Torah, with Chava and the Eitz, is your eyes start seeing things. You didn't want it. It wasn't where you are. And all of a sudden. Next. B'dibur peh. Speaking harshly. Erech apayim. Marachaf. When you're slow to anger, You'll be delayed. You're not getting angry, but when you speak harshly, when you're screaming or you're uptight, you're gonna sin. You're gonna sin. When you are ready, you know it takes. You know, by the way, number one rule: if you're in a fight and someone's screaming, do not scream back, because you're gonna. It's not only is it gonna escalate, which it will, you'll lose yourself. When you're screaming, when you're speaking harshly, you're going to end up sinning. Unless you're a big tzaddik, and you can do it without internal anger. So it's a big tzaddik. Talks about a teacher, a real rabbi, to a student. It's only to scare the student, but it's internally not angry. But if you're internally angry and you're skipping kasha, you're going to sin. Bidas. Now, this is very interesting. How in the world, you know too much, you have too much knowledge, you're going to sin? Things you did with knowledge. Chachma yoyis madrigaso. Chachma ruha maisa alula hapach oisal panav. If you know a lot, but you're not doing it, very knowledgeable, not doing it, you could actually fall on your face. He says in the parentheses over here, but Derek says it's a good example. Be honored. Now, I just want to say, he talks about Kabbalah. Rav Dessler was a tremendous mekubal. Arguably, in his time, the biggest Baki in Maral in the world. The biggest expert in Maral. He had a tremendous background in Kabbalah. So he says, but if you learn Kabbalah before you're ready, it means you're not just your knowledge, you're not a developed individual. You're not a balanced, developed, polished yid in your Torah and in your Midas. You're going to get a lot of knowledge. You're going to learn all about how the heavenly spheres and how God interacts with the world. Gaslibo, you're going to get haughty because you have this knowledge base. Bechinas hamestakel, shoshadvarm enev ena libo chaos viach lahazik, and you can hurt your ears, Shemaim. You'll think you know you're become a know-it-all, and you're not a developed person. You're not a worked individual. It could actually lead you to very, very bad places. So we know that there are people, for example, in Kabbalah, who learned it, who were very smart perhaps, but not developed, not advanced in other areas, and they tripped and fell. Sometimes they brought lots of people with them. Uvamirma, next one. Trickery. Who are you tricking yourself? Klap alchei. You're a great... Some people are a show for other people. Some people are a show for yourself. You know, and by the way, anyone who's honest knows when they're not living honest with themselves. But they're not very often we're not honest. We don't want to be honest. We don't think about it. We just do. And so we rationalize all kinds of stuff. And we're the loser. Haramas Atzmo. Next. Here or late. By the way, I just wanted to stress because again, this video is we return. This is amazing. It's so you ever see two people, by the way, just parenthetically, who are in a fight? You see two people in a fight, like really in a fight. I've been there, done that, been in the room with them. They hate each other. They don't want to talk to them. They can't look in the face. Now, if you ever see these two people make up, say, I'm sorry, and they hug, it's like the burden. They're so happy afterwards. It felt so good to reconcile. So you see this with siblings or parents and children. Wow, that is like amazing, amazing. You know, husbands and wives, amazing. I'm talking about two strangers, two friends, old ex-friends, two people in a fight, two business partners. They're so happy. But it's an effort. It takes, I'm sorry, it takes acknowledging the relationship's been damaged. Then you can fix it and be in a much better place and be so much happier. Same thing we're doing here. It may sound strong, you know, but the result is amazing. I'm not even talking about the world to come. I'm not even talking about how I started tonight about what's along in the Yom Kippur. I'm talking about ourselves. We'd be much happier, better, successful people if we do it correctly. That's why Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. It's an opportunity to become the people we could and should be. Here are lays. Improper thoughts, usually, you know, more lewd, or heretical. Machshavas hachit, he shares from us. What we start thinking is what we're going to end up doing. You start thinking about something, that's where your head goes. I am Ashkasav Rambam. So the Rambam, Maimonides, is explaining, elucidating tshuva. He says, Oizev hachit, cheto, you should leave the sin and remove it from your machshavas, remove it from your thoughts. Shemar yaza rasha darka, that a person who does wicked deeds should leave his path. Beish oven machshavasim, and a person who ends up sinning should leave where he's thinking. Get your head out of the gutter. Get your head out of illicit things. Get your head out of the wrong ideas. Next, horneras rea, hurting our friends. Other car of the Kabbalah Hashpar Rab Mireya Karvlo. People with a good friend, they can get misled. They thought their friend's a friend. They're my friend. It's a good buddy. Now there's Bernie Madoff friends who rip you off and steal your bank account, your piggy bank, or your 401k, or your house, or your vacations and everything else. And people will steal your soul for eternity. And that people steal your shalom bias, your family's, your marital happiness. People steal your seichel. They steal your mental health, right? So when you have a friend, this can be very damaging. And if you hurt your friend, I gave extreme cases, but it could be mildly. You took away their self esteem a little bit. You took away their happiness. They had a new, got something new, and you hurt them for about it. You took away their joy from it. They clap al chay vidrei peh. Right? When he says, when you do things, you say, I'm going to do this, but it wasn't coming from the heart. It wasn't real. Right? You just said it. It wasn't real. Actually, I remember I used to speak to the person who married me off was one of the greatest sages of the generation, it was Zog Epstein. He used to always, but very often say, and I heard it from him multiple times, that, you know, before you wear a tie, you gotta put on a shirt and suit. Yeah, I mean, if you walk around with a tie with no shirt, you look like a schlamazel, right? But if you wear a tie and a suit, you look good. So he used to say, when you accept things, make sure that you're having a shirt, an undershirt, a jacket, a shirt, you know, then you can put on a tie. So pick what you want, but do it intelligently. Just to say things, to do things without thought, is not a good way to do it, and very often leads to sin. Fiidusnus, an assembly, a gathering of promiscuity. Kol kvius l'davar shalim zayin achrav. Obviously, if you go to a pub or a club or any mixed speech, you are going to a place which is inherently, intrinsically filled with znus. And that may not be, maybe be making out on the dance floor, maybe they are, but they're certainly thinking that way. If you would read the brains of that whole place that you're surrounded by, you know, that's what it had to be. I remember, almost 30 years ago, somebody asked me to study with somebody who was becoming religious. I was 18, wow, it's 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I was like Shiva Bachar, and this guy was becoming a Baal Tshuva. He went to, I think, Gulliver Ransom, which are the preppiest schools in South Florida, and was in Dartmouth. And he told me, he's a football player, he's on the football team, Jewish guy, becoming Orthodox. And he told me that when he was around in high school, all he thought, if he like looks back, his whole head was thinking about girls all day long. Like when he would lift weights, when he'd play football, you know, it's all about girls. Like that's where his head. Now, of course, he was an academic. He ended up switching to Harvard, I believe, you know, because he's more Jewish, so to speak. This is before October 7th, 2023, and it's many years ago, 30 years ago, but. Certainly if you're on a beach, what do you think you're thinking about? You're in a pub? You're in a dance club? Where is your head going to be? You go to a party in your friend's house and people are half naked? Are they drunk? Where do you think your head's going to be? Now, you're going to say, you and I aren't going to do that. But there could be somewhere which is also inappropriate, it's more loose. In the office, Intel, Cisco, Apple, Google, parties, get-togethers, social gatherings, very loosey-goosey. Somebody told me they once went to a Big Four accounting firm. They had a weekend, and they all had to go. He said, if I would tell you what happened over that weekend to people working together professionally, he said, it was shock beyond belief. So a person has to be very careful where they put themselves, and if they are, they better make, not go where they shouldn't be. Because once you're in there, once you're there, once you're surrounded by it, your head's for sure shot, but you could end up doing much worse. Acharei levavka, we say in Shema every day, zuminus. Now again, by the way, it's not just promiscuity. If you go to a place where they're questioning God, or they're Bible critics, or they have newfangled ideas of Judaism and the Torah, unless you're well-versed, and you can get messed up. You really could. Or you feminize Torah like some, conservative people do today. You don't know any better. You're just listening to it and you're a girl. And yeah, girls' rights. Yeah, good things. And really, Lilith was a good person. And why isn't Sarah like... And again, people talk, they brainwash them. They mess people up. So you're around the wrong people in the wrong places. There's dance clubs and beaches and parties and drunken parties and holiday parties and company parties. And there's people in the wrong Jewish educational places getting the wrong ideas. Bechlazah Kovea Atzmo. This is actually interesting. You can go to a college even, and you start reading the news and everything about the world, and everything is man. You forget about Hashem. Now they don't. Even if you don't learn about evolution, you're being taught in MIT or at Harvard. Because that was for you, right? Or in Yale, or in UCLA, or in Berkeley, or Penn. And the way they teach you, everything is, man-made. By the way, you look at these young, impressionable morons today, screaming pro-Palestine and, yay, Hezbollah. Like, these people, they would be dead. You think they'd let you live as your life if you'd be in Hamas land or Hezbollah, and you these college morons, they're so dumb. It's unbelievable. Especially if like some of them have alternate lifestyles and they're sitting there support. I mean, out of your minds, they just have no brains. But so and they're young and impressionable. They hear half stories and sometimes flat out lies and sob stories and false narratives and from very sophisticated people, very very cosmopolitan and sophisticated people. So by the way, it's not just about the making kids love Iran, but you can forget about Hashem. You go to college and learn all about how man and this, and if you don't, you can still be a little religious, but not so religious. That's also a danger. You got to be careful where you put yourself. Again, people who are very much more advanced and polished and knowledgeable are way less likely to get snared in these things. But wherever we are, and certainly in places of inappropriate places, because the eyes do desire. Bizadun. Okay, obviously this is an obvious one. You know it's wrong and you do it anyways. You don't care. Just don't care. Bishkaga. Now you do it by mistake. Iachana, you're not prepared. You don't take it seriously. I've said this before. Most people who get into a car accident by mistake, It's because their level of care was not high enough. They would drive slavery. So it was a mistake, it was an accident. But had they been more careful, if they appreciated more the dangers, they would never, it would never happen. If you're ill or you're not prepared, it would never happen. Zilzul horem v'marim. Okay, this is obviously if you denigrate your parents or your teachers, hazilzul, now, is opposite the moira. You're really supposed to stand when your parents come in. You're supposed to stand when your Rosh Hashiva or your Rebbe comes in. This is moira abcha, kimura shamayim. Your teacher's like, you should fear him like you fear shamayim, because he's an ambassador of that. The ambassador of that. I just dealing with a very complex communal situation, and part of the issue in this situation was that some people were not, they don't care but for this rat rabbinic figure, and if you don't respect them, you're going to denigrate them. That, and certainly with their power position. So if you don't respect your parents, you're going to denigrate them. Especially when they demand from you. Especially when they want something from you. If it's a teacher, a rabbi, you don't respect them, you will end up denigrating them. And if it, sometimes, by the way, that's, by the way, the worst thing today, calling any rabbi by a first name, any parent by a first name, I think it's terrible people call their in-laws by their first names. That's like the beginning of all, I think it's awful. I think it's sick to call your parents by its first name. It's sick to call a rabbi for a first name. You know, it's so... You live in a world today with no respect. I remember the Kohan Tzedoy say in Iran, the way the children would speak to the parents and the grandparents, it was such... You don't see it that way in America today. The president, maybe because we haven't had a normal president. And again, I will vote for Trump the third time. I have no problem saying that. But we haven't had a normal president... for I don't know how long, maybe someone in my lifetime, I'm not going to get to that. But, people have no respect for anyone. Well, if you don't respect people, you're going to denigrate them. Right? You're going to denigrate them. You know, Zilzul Horman, imagine your parents. Now, parents, I'm not talking about dysfunctional situations. I'm saying, you just like, you respect them, but you're an equal at some level. You're now 45 years old, you're 50, you're 60, you're... Or someone told me recently, I'm 31 years old. 31 years old, they're an adult. So they know best. B'chayzik yad. Tanya's kayichi, you're all powerful. Kayichi v'atzim yadi abam argash kayichatzim. Person, they have a little success. They win. Obviously, the greatest danger, I think, today for the Israeli army, God forbid, is that they... all of a sudden think that they're the superpower of the world. It's all from Hashem. Any victory they have, of course, you have to have the technology, you have to have the training, you have to have the leadership. But for Hashem, the worst thing is to forget about Hashem. So, or for the Jewish people. We're only here, the Jewish people are here. If you think about it, there's 2 billion Muslims, right? They're surrounded by 600, 700 million Arabs. Most of them want to destroy them. Most of the Western world are woke liberals. Most. Certainly Europe is mostly that way. They don't care for us. They're a nuisance because they just want to have their margaritas or their cappuccinos in Starbucks. They don't want to have to deal with this. Like, you look at the world, we make no sense. We always made no sense. But things that, it's all Hashem. So a person, as a nation, but as individuals also, person all of a sudden becomes there. They learn. They finish, Tanakh, or they finish Shas, or they finish come to daven every day on time, or they became spotted tzedakah, or they're successful at work, whether it's spiritual or material, and all of a sudden they don't need Hashem so much anymore. I did it, great. I gave the money. I did the deal. I got the promotion. I got the promotion. I learned this. That's a big danger. You were, Baruch Hashem, I got a promotion. Baruch Hashem, I finished Shas. Because otherwise you can think it's you. B'chil Hashem, B'ikar chil sha'aisi l'gabi atzal. The biggest chil Hashem is what you do to yourself. that you forget what you should be doing. Of course, if you do things publicly. But tipshus peh, saying dumb things, tipshus peh, stung is going to be other who shorish kol achit. Don't be a shaita, don't be a fool. Rasul Salanter said, number one rule is don't be a fool. Think before you speak, think how you act. Have a little self-respect. Tumas svasayim. You want to know what leads a person, you know, today everyone has bathroom words or bedroom words, that's all the curse words. You know, every bathroom word in birth, it's like literally like poor. Like when they, in the desert, they served idolatry through doing defecating and doing acts of lewdness. So that's how people talk. Well, if you talk that way, if you lower yourself that way, you'll end up doing things like that. B'yitzer hara. We clap for the evil inclination. We didn't create the evil inclination. No. It's hara yitzer hara. Sha'ad asa. You made the yitzer hara. You brought this on you, what you watched, what you saw, what you ate. You ate non-kosher, now you want to do things, or you ate something without brachas. Now you desire to do that. You went to that beach, and now, right, you listen to this provocative music, and now in your head is beating some kind of stupid tune, but you can't get out. Right? You went into a crafty business. Crafty, with all kinds of illicit things and shady characters. What do you think is going to happen? You create the Yetzer Hara. Some things are things we'd be embarrassed. We embarrassed, we don't do it the right way, so we know it's wrong. We know, we do it anyways. You do it. You do it that no one's knowing, but you did it anyways, right? And you did it. And you should. Bekapa sheichad, mishovet inyan of the ark of biyosu kafoy al yishochar etzara aliba shachos shachas. Now, when you're bribed, literally when you're bribed, you can't think clearly. You know, I remember many years ago. I mean, I'm just picking something that, you know, that somebody I was working with. He became a Baal Tshuva and his wife was the Kira. This was not in the Bay Area. This was in Philadelphia. And he told me, he was asking me how to help his friend who's living with a non-Jewish lady. This guy could totally reform. So he married a Kira, a convert. So he said to the following line, he said, you can't speak to him anymore because he's sleeping with her all the time. So his head is, he can't think straight. So that makes sense, right? You're not a winning argument. She's in the bed with him. You're not in the bed with him. You're not going to win that. It's not a logical argument. Well, if somebody bribes you with flattery, somebody bribes you with money or with gifts, so it's very hard to do the right thing sometimes. So you allow yourself to mess up because you like the praise, you like the gifts. In this case of this guy, you like the babe. Right, if I sort of speak in a crude way for that, like that, he would speak. You know, you end up doing things because you're bribed, you're bought off, you're paid off at some level. Bekachash, you lie about the past. You can't admit it because of make false promises. You're not going to do it. Promise others. Promise God, you have no desire to do it. Just say it. But lashon hara, lashon hara. I don't need to explain to anyone. Who are karech lahara? It's the lashon hara really is to do bad without any benefit. Ketshuvas hanachas, like the nachash, as the Chazal say, what benefit do you get? Lashon hara is like, what are you doing? So that you benefit nothing. It doesn't make you better. It doesn't give it to you. Bilatzon, which is mockery. Leitzas in manichle kavotachach. If you're mocking, if nothing is serious, nothing bothers you, nothing makes a difference, everything's a joke, ha ha ha, very funny. Nothing's, you have no reverence, nothing's really important. You can't hear rebuke, you can't hear a rabbi, you can't hear an inspirational speech, you won't get an inspirational book. No one could talk to you about how to improve because nothing's serious to you. B'chiras Magen HaMashuach B'Shaven, it's like a shield with oil, everything just slips off, and you end up, you know, going off the cliff. But sometimes you see, like, young adults, nothing is serious. You know, you tell them, drive safely. They drive like maniacs, you know, drunk, right? And then they get a car accident and they crash. Because when you're a teenager, very often you can't take things seriously. By the way, part of that's because of brain development. But when you're an adult, okay, even there are serious things in life. Certain things are business. It's not just that you can steal, but you're not going to trust in Hashem. You have to realize that success comes from Hashem. We hit for eating and drinking. If you do, eating and drinking is a very powerful tool. Obviously, on the greatest, we just on Rosh Hashanah, we had Simanim. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, we could also lead a person to all kinds of sins. I don't have to really, and all kinds of desires, and it could take a person away from the things they could and should be doing. B'neshach u'marbis, any form of interest for a Jew, it makes you cruel and stingy. Okay, it makes you cruel and stingy. Imagine your child, your sibling, needed a loan, right, and you charge them interest. Parents raised you, they feed you, they took care of you, they spent your money for your schooling, and now they ask you for a loan, and you say, okay, 8%, 10%, 12%. You're cruel, and you're stingy. What do you mean you can't give your parents a loan? This guy asked you for $40 for a taxi. He left his wallet, he said, okay, I'll give you $40, give me 10%. What kind of person are you? Well, when you appreciate what clients are, the Jewish people, the fraternity we have with each other. We don't give Jews loans with interest. I'm not talking about that to Iska, that's what that, but that's not, you're cruel and you're stingy if you do that. But Nitiyas Garen, literally being like haughty. Mar Gaivala Cherem, if you are arrogant to others, you're going to end up sinning. That's self explanatory. Bishikar, I'm literally blinking a blink of the eye, a little wink wink. Why? Hashabis Rashaim Shimram Zelazet Maxazet. People wink at each other, which means people are doing evil. Sometimes completely evil, sometimes just wrong. Wrong lifestyle. Wrong actions. But they encourage each other by winking. Now sometimes today we don't wink so much, but it's the pat on the back. It's the smile. Like we're in it together. You're part of our fraternity. Now I'm not talking about fraternal, like what's mentioned before. You're in AE Pi. You're together. You're in the sorority. Right? You're all together now. Wow, you're a brother. You're eating pig together. But we're in it together. You're all of this together. Right? We're all wearing black hats and rulers, but we're all saying Lashon Hara together. How enjoyable. We're all there together. Geschmack. Amazing. So wink, wink. Right, you joined and it was team effort to sin. Just prattling about, having all conversations with no purpose, very often leads people, especially Lashon Hara, Rechilas, joking around, hurting people, right? Shooting the breeze. Now, obviously, speech connects people, and it's actually speech is the part of our essence. We are social animals. We do need to connect to people. But just speaking and speaking about people and about schools and yeshivas and shuls will often lead a person to sin. Inayim Ramos, looking up or looking down at other people. I mean, look at the world. You're the best. Not to everyone. You're just haughty, arrogant. Gaiva is your internal arrogance. When you're internal arrogance, what happens? You denigrate people in your eyes. You nullify people. You look down at people. And everyone has faults, and you're faultless. Regarding law, when you walk around the world in that form or fashion, you end up sinning and doing things and treating people inappropriately. Adas Metzach, if you're brazen, right? You have no shame. You will sin sickly and terribly because you have no shame. Prikas ol. Okay, prikas ol, you literally take the yoke of heaven off yourself. Ha'atzlis v'ha'atzabam. I can't wake up early. Yom Kippur, crazy Yom Kippur morning, and I wake up late. So your whole life is just, I'm just too tired. And Rabbi, do I have to, you know, why do I have to go to this? Do I have to do this? Like, I just can't, you know. You know, the guy can sit there and watch football for 50 hours, but if he's waking up in the morning to save $50 in an airplane fight, you know, $100, he saved $100 for his flight, makes his flight earlier, saves but Yom Kippur morning, I need my sleep. Sugar? Out of your mind? Because people are lazy, that's what it is. They save $100, they can do it. Kleeless calls it, that's what calls it, krumkite. It's not a good translate, but it means crookedness. Shechasa ha-kayach la-achayah shavutis. You become crooked. You can't think, see things straight. Right? You're crooked. So how does a person become crooked? Because they allow themselves just to not think things through. Or just to listen to, like I mentioned, like these college dopes, you know, screaming, we're Hamas, or saying anti-Semitic things. They come from, some of them come from normal homes. And they become crumb and crooked. And the Rambam says when a person sins, what's sweet is bitter, and what's bitter is sweet, like a sick person. They can't, their taste buds are off. Well, some people's heads are off. Stias Rea. Hechshon Latzul Levavos Achem Mevil Yeshek HaVigzilonos. The ability, if you're good at tricking people and conning people and conniving, and sometimes you're just a salesman. You know, you're a salesman. Right, well, you're a salesman. No, not a good salesman. You can be a great salesman. You can be a very honest salesman. But if you have a salesman personality, you can sell people lots of lemons. You can steal from people. You can steal people's time. You can steal their profits. You can sell a lot of things. And you're trapping people. You're conniving people. And you're hurting people. Tsaras ayin, again, is like kilos, just you see very narrowly, stinginess and jealousy. And again, that leads to people in Kalas Rosh. It's Chasar, a few more will be done shortly. Kalas Rosh. It's Chasla Efshos Rakas. If you're just lightheaded, then you can't focus. You can't achieve. You can't become the person you're supposed to be. I mean, we want to return to Hashem by saying, the Kalas Rosh that I had, not taking important things seriously, is you know, imagine at your wedding, you're looking at your phone. I've said this before, right? I mean, your wedding is not serious. Your marriage is not serious. Your life is not serious. Your Judaism is not serious. Kashas Oref, Akshanas Haba Mitai V'Chazaka, right? Terrible stubbornness, which comes. You don't want to stop. I an obvious case to me, and a very sad case, is people who smoke. They just want to smoke. They're going to kill themselves. They're going to get emphysema, or lung cancer, or heart disease. They're going to give secondhand smoke to their family, but they like smoking. So they just don't want to stop. Yeah, you're killing yourself. I've been in the ICU. I've been in these rooms with people. I know people who died from this. And you do too. But you just want to smoke. I know somebody, it's distantly related to me, who literally weighs 500 pounds. And the person knows it. Even Ozempic didn't work for them because they like their food. They're killing themselves. They're immobile. Oh, they're 500, 400, whatever pounds. Sick. So people, they're sure, I'm giving you smoking and eating, but they're people who live sinful lives and they don't leave it because they enjoy the sin. And they don't, even though they're killing themselves. I tell these guys they kill themselves physically. People are killing themselves for eternity. They're gonna kill themselves from the world to come. They're gonna die there, to an extent. Ritzis Raglayim Lahara. Zrizah Shlobu Mekoimo. Yeah, you have a lot of alacrity, but not for the right things. Not for the right stuff. Rechilis. Now, Rechilis, of course, is, did you know so-and-so said this about you? Oh, did you hear that? You know, someone did this. Reichel Reichel hepech balsod. Reichel is the opposite of a person who keeps a secret. They're not the most untrustworthy people. People who are trustworthy don't go telling people, you know, so-and-so said things about you, so-and-so did things to you. Shvuas shav, you swear false in the name of God, or by the way, according to many, say blessings in vain. Blessings in vain. It means you're not makir Hashem, because you're not thinking before you use God's name. You're not appreciative of how we say God. We don't have the reverence of saying God's name. Sinas chinam, baseless hatred. Shor shakama chaveres chamura. So this is the root of many, many sins. It actually refers you to another place in this work. Teshumas yad, giving the wrong hand, the wrong way, joining up with a rasha. Let's say you're in a business with a wicked person, a sick person, a pervert person. Would you ever want to be a roommate with a pervert? With a psycho, you know, with a total nutcase, a murderer, an evil person, you know, an adulterer. Would you want to be? But then people hang out with these people all the time. We're social friends. We're partners. Well, guess what? If they're your roommates, they're your partner. You wouldn't want a neighbor that way. You know, I'm sure you've all heard these nightmare stories of neighbors who like. Or axe murderers, like who? That's a danger to you. It's a danger to have a neighbor like that. Well, it's a danger to have a business partner like that, who's a sicko, a pervert, a murderer, a thief. It affects you. Lastly, is Tzmir Levav. Hayotim Tamalev. Right? Obviously, if we damaged our moral calibration through our actions, we want to return from that. Then we say at the end, he just says, Tavo lefanecha. Again, just to stress, all of this, Hashem is waiting for us to do this. We're waiting for this. Just like those two people I mentioned in my office, when they hug and they kiss and they make up, it's an amazing feeling. Certainly if it's parents and children, certainly if it's siblings, right, or spouses, and they feel a billion times better, and their lives are better. Right? If we take Yom Kippur, we'll be a million times better. So he ends off with how we end up with the tefillah. Tavo lefanecha tefillah seinu. Our prayers should come in front of you. Don't hide yourself from our supplications. If we would not come into Yom Kippur and do nothing and not do vidui, we'd be hiding from our problems. We're not saying sorry. We're not dealing with the issues. You can't make up if you don't deal with the issues. You can't fix yourself. If you're not willing to deal with your problems. Now, one time I remember I had a couple, and one person had severe mental illness who was not dealing with it. I said, I can't help your marriage until you help yourself. You're not going to help that. You got to fix yourself, buddy, right? First, take your medication. See a therapist. Do what you need to do, right? You can't fix something unless you fix yourself, right? So they say, if I'm not fixing myself, right, then we're not going to really need to talk about here. But Shemaim is still the same. If we don't fix ourselves, Hashem is going to not fix our relationship and hear our prayers, so to speak. Ulam, hamishtadil, a person who wants to work and fix and reconcile and improve and return. Shuv, return to Hashem, return to our neshama, return to ourselves, return to the people we could be or should be. Mishamayim, in heaven, Hashem picks us up. That is from the greatest opportunities of Yom Kippur, and the reason Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. I wish everybody a gemar, chesima, toiva, a good shiur. All of our tefillahs, all of our prayers, all of our returning should be accepted by Hashem, for us, for our families, and for Klal Yisrael.